My guest today is Jay Tower. Jay, how are you?
Doing great. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing fantastic. Good. Where do you live?
I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I actually knew that.
Yes. You stayed at my house before.
I know. It's a nice house. And
interviewer question,
that.
Right?
but I want to talk about the time that you weren't living at your house in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
That's
Tell me about that.
So we had kind of a weird year where we rented out our house in Michigan and lived in an RV, actually went to the contiguous 48 states in that, it was about 13 and a half
months.
You went
to every single state?
Yep, all of them.
Wow. And I was reading about that at the time. It was, you finished up, what, about 9 months ago or something
yep,
like that?
Yep, that's right, yeah, so about 9 months ago.
How long were you gone?
13 and a half
13 months. And a half months. Mm-hmm. You and your family?
Yep, my wife and two kids.
Wow. And here's the interesting part. It wasn't a vacation.
That's right.
You were working the entire time.
That's right. We would have, in some ways, we would have loved to be able to afford to just not have to
Maybe
think
someday.
About money. Right. But we couldn't. So what we did was I was working remotely for about 4.5 years up until that point for a company, Falafel Software.
Okay.
I know your friends of Lino who
yeah,
owns
a great
Falafel.
Guy. He's been on the show.
Yep. A good friend of a lot of people, including me. And I was working for him about 4.5 years at that point and approached him and said, my family and I was thinking about doing this kind of crazy thing. Is this going to be possible?
What was his reaction?
His reaction was extremely supportive. We planned it about 2 years in advance, all the way up to that trip and all the way through.
All right. And so, and then you executed on this plan.
Yep.
And how did that go? I mean, you were already a remote worker.
Yep.
Because you were in Michigan and he's in California.
Yep, that's right.
And you're calling... Your customers and your coworkers were all over the world.
Yep, that's true.
But this is more. This is beyond
a little
just
more extreme.
Remote.
Yep.
Now you're going through the Grand Canyon.
Yes, that's right.
Trying to get Wi-Fi.
Yeah. So you know when you're at home and you kind of rely on your internet. You know if you got Comcast, it might go down once in a while.
Right.
But you know you rely on it and it pretty much works all the time. And I had to think a lot more this year about you know where are we going to be and am I going to be able to get on the internet and and all that kind of stuff. And very thankfully, if I had tried to do this trip 10 years ago, you know, we wouldn't have had 3G, 4G, all that stuff to rely on. And that right now covers so much of the country, it's almost a little scary. You can be in the middle of the nowhere with some buffalo, and you're still
on 20. So would you have a hotspot? Is that what you're connecting through?
Yep. Used several different devices to kind of make sure that I didn't.
From different telecom companies?
You know, I thought about doing that ahead of time, and the Verizon footprint is just so much better than the other companies that I ended up doing two different Verizon devices.
Oh, why two?
So because one of them was my phone, and my phone goes with me when I leave, and I wanted my wife and kids to be able to still, you know, be on the internet and do homeschooling stuff.
This was a project for your wife as well, homeschooling the kids.
That's right.
In an RV.
That's right. She's not a professional teacher.
Uh-huh.
As my son humorously reminded her one time when he was mad about homeschooling.
You're not the teacher of me.
That's right. He wanted a professional teacher. But she's a nurse professionally, so she took a year off of her career and put that on hold and just homeschooled our kids for the year.
Tell me some of the other challenges of this extreme remote working.
Yeah, space is a big challenge. So we lived in an RV for the whole year.
How big is this RV?
So when you first walk in, it feels really big for an RV, but it ends up being a little less than 400 square feet of living space.
Okay.
And for four people and for a school, you know, two kids being schooled and me working remotely and having meetings with customers and stuff, 400 square feet can seem pretty small. Now, I know you've got a Chicago apartment that's probably just twice that size, right?
It's not very big. I'm not sure how many square feet it is.
But, you know, imagine...
But it's just me.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine sharing that with four, you know, total four
Do you
people.
Have doors you could close and get some
privacy? Yeah, yeah. So we got a kind of an RV that's called a bunkhouse. It has a room in the back that has a bunk beds. That's why they call it a bunkhouse. And that's where the kids were. And they would actually do their schooling mostly in that room. And then we had a room in the middle, which for sound purposes was kind of a buffer room.
Mm-hmm.
And then our bedroom was in the front, and I spent most of my time working up there.
Okay. And that worked out okay?
Yeah, two doors closed. Most of the time, that was enough of a buffer for sound and stuff. And
how old were your kids?
When we left, they were 8 and 11.
8 and 11.
Yeah.
They came back, and they were like 25. And
yeah,
25.
Well, as far as life experience goes, maybe, yeah.
What was the most crazy thing that happened on your trip?
Oh, man. There were some crazy good and crazy bad things,
right,
of course.
Let's start with chaotic bad.
Yeah, so there was two times during the trip when the RV decided that one of the tires was going to be done with its life.
Okay.
One of them, the tire completely just evaporated.
Oh, and, were you in the middle of nowhere, or are you near?
We were fortunately we were in Texas, in a town where we could get some help, but it still took 4.5 hours along the side of the road. So that was one of the more frustrating days.
That'll test your patience.
Yep. Another day, we were in the hills of West Virginia, and kind of in the middle of nowhere, and a tire had a bubble on the sidewall, the size of a basketball.
Wow.
I see it on the side of the tire spinning around as I'm driving, and I'm like, oh, that tire is falling apart, right?
Right.
And I stopped, and I was like, oh, my gosh, it's actually still together, but there's just this huge bubble on it.
Were you able to limp to some?
So we had to stop right there, and we actually had someone come, and the RV was like 16,000 pounds, so we weren't going to be able to jack it up. We had a guy come that changed truck tires, come and jacked it up for us and changed the tire, and we were back on the road.
Oh, that's good.
But we had no cell phone service there, so it was kind of an adventure.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. I was driving back from Washington, D.C. to Cincinnati one time.
Yeah, there's not a lot of cell phone service in the West Virginia hills there. Uh-huh. Crazy good experience.
Yeah, chaotic good. What's up?
Chaotic good. We accidentally, I swear, were in New Orleans during Mardi Gras.
Okay.
Not planned at all.
I've never been to Mardi Gras.
Yeah, you know, when we pulled into it, you know, you see the stuff on TV and it looks kind of debaucherous, right? And with two little kids, I'm like, well, we'll probably avoid that, right? But I found out when we got there that it's actually super family friendly.
Is it?
Except for like a 14x2 block area that is the French Quarter where all the tourists and college students go and be a little crazy, right? So we took the kids.
That's where the drinking happens.
That's where the extreme drinking and the other stuff that you've seen with the beads and stuff happens, right?
Did you get any beads while you're there?
So we stood in one spot all day, and three parades came by, like 2 or 3 hours long each. They throw stuff. They call them throws from the parade floats.
Uh-huh.
We left with over 40 pounds.
Did you have to work for them? If you don't
know. No, 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 no. Nobody wanted to see that, Dave. So it was a blast, and you couldn't help but leave with a big smile on your face.
That is cool. What's the coolest place you went to?
All four of us loved Glacier National Park as our favorite in Montana. Absolute favorite. Put it on your bucket list. It's amazing.
There's a glacier there, I take it.
Well, there's only like 20 left. And when my parents were kids, there was like 119 or something like that.
Wow.
So in the next 10 years here or so, probably going to be zero.
This is a global warming thing?
It's a global warming thing, yep.
Wow.
So if you want to go, I would recommend going soon if you want to see the glaciers. It's
okay.
Literally, so I believe.
It just got added to my list just now.
Awesome. Now slide it up.
This sounds like you don't regret this trip at all.
No, not at all.
It was a lot of work, right?
It was a lot of work, and it was hard in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, emotionally, you know, being separated from friends and family and not feeling like we had roots. And there was a lot of parts of it that I wouldn't want to repeat. But if I could travel back in time and give myself advice before the trip, I'd say go for it. It was amazing.
Okay. Tell me what you did to prepare for the trip ahead of time.
Well, the biggest thing was saving money.
Okay.
even though we rented out the house, and that was kind of a net break even.
Okay.
There's a lot of expenses associated with buying a huge RV and a huge truck to tow it. And, you know, obviously we spent about the same that we spent on our mortgage every month on renting spots at RV parks. So, and then, of course, all the experiences.
Too, because your wife was home.
Wife wasn't working, yep. And, you know, my income stayed flat, which was great. But, you know, there's a lot of expenses associated. Well, I mean, for goodness sake, that first summer, gas was like, you know, over $4 in the summer,
it was
awful.
Just bad timing as far as
that And that truck got, when we towed, it got about 9 miles
per gallon. Oh, my gosh.
So we would move, you know, 300-400 miles on a weekend and spend just hundreds of dollars on gas.
Wow.
So there was some saving associated with our planning phase. But probably the hardest part was being away from friends and family.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have the RV?
No, we sold the RV about like maybe 3 or 4 months after we got back. We sold that.
Do you
and
think
the truck.
You'll do this again?
It doesn't. It's not on the radar right now. I can imagine maybe when we retire, something that looked like this could happen again. But right now, we're loving having roots and you know being close to friends and family.
It's good. It's a good thing to have done.
It is. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
What advice if somebody else listening to this is planning on doing this? What advice can you give them?
So I heard once on a podcast that's recorded here in Chicago, actually, one of my favorites, the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I don't know if you've heard that one.
I watch it, yeah.
The host of that podcast, actually, I heard him say once, the rule of anecdotal value. And what that rule basically is to him is that if something makes a good story, it's probably a good decision in your life. So that's my advice, is if something looks like it could be a challenge and it could be hard, but it'll make a great story, it's probably a good thing to do.
Jay, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Nice to talk to you, Dave. The best part about technology, bar none, is getting to learn about it and make new friends at a great event like Chicago Code Camp here today.